How do improvisers deal with audience suggestions being so dumb?
Most of the dumb ones are like dildo, right?
Yeah.
Like that's a thing that usually happens with like people who are seeing improv. They think they're funny, right?
It is like it's funny. They're not wrong. It's just
it's I guess it can be
it's just
to
the
certain
joke
people,
wears thin because
they can I don't know like
so
the
often.
The act of yelling dildo in a room of strangers is fun for them.
Yeah.
But I mean, to directly answer your question, most improv involves taking the word and like manipulating it and like expanding from it. You know,
yeah.
Like if the word is rubber ducky, you're like, oh man, rubber ducky makes me think of Sesame Street. And
right.
I used to be scared of the count when I was a kid. I had a problem with the fact that nobody had a problem with the fact that he was a goddamn vampire.
Right.
And like, they're just like, oh, he's so fun and he counts. And I'm like, he is going to suck your blood the minute you turn your back. You need to be more alarmed by this guy hanging out with children.
There's a thing in vampire lore that in a lot of cultures that have developed vampire myths that they have OCD and that you can slow a vampire down by like leaving a bunch of tied ropes or like a pile of sesame seeds or something, where like they would
what
count
would they
them
do
all.
They would, so if there's a pile of sesame seeds
they would have to count how many
like,
there are.
Hold on 1 minute
before, like, I will come kill you, but for let's Rain Man this pile of seeds.
It just feels
and that when I learned mean. That, I was like, is that why Sesame Street count is the count? And I never got an answer. But then I saw there was a thread going around on Twitter about people debating it. And I was like, good. It's not just, I'm not the only one who's ever had that thought. I think it is.
Probably. Yeah.
Because why else? Why a vampire? I mean, there's monsters on the show.
Yes, there are. But yeah, I think you uncovered it.
Hey, I started recording when I asked you about how improvisers deal with dumb audience suggestions.
Yeah.
The one category that I put up for today didn't get a lot of suggestions.
Uh-huh.
Since it came up organically in conversation.
Uh-huh.
You want to do Sesame Street?
Sure. But before I do, welcome to the Improvised Wikipedia podcast. I am here with my friend Glenn Tickle.
I'm here with my friend John Longer.
And this week's episode is brought to you by coffee mugs. Coffee mugs, when you want to drink coffee and not burn your hand, use promo code ImprovWikipod at checkout and save 10%.
I like that before coffee mugs were invented, we're all just scooping it up like Augustus Gloop.
Yep.
While it's still hot.
Yeah, sometimes you just kind of like, yeah, you just stick your head in there. Sometimes you just stick your whole face
like,
in there.
I burned my hand. And then iced coffee wasn't invented until way later. You'd think, I like this hot liquid. What do? Either develop ceramics or just let it cool down a little bit? Nah. I'm just going to scald myself.
Well, this is the Improvised Wikipedia podcast.
Yes, it is.
And if you've been listening so far, you've figured out that this week's topic is going to be Sesame Street. But before we dive into that, I guess the piece of housekeeping would be if, for whatever reason, you're new to the podcast, Glenn and I are rewriting the entirety of Wikipedia off the top of our heads. And if we do a better job than Wikipedia, then at the end of this podcast, we will win the entirety of the website.
Yeah. Do you know a lot about Sesame Street? I feel like you look like a guy who might.
Okay.
And by look like a guy who might, I mean you look like a Muppet.
Oh, thanks.
But
that's
a fun way.
No,
that's a
lot better than I thought it was going down. When you were like, hey, you look like a guy who enjoys Sesame Street. I was like, fuck you, dude. Really?
I'll admit, look, I did sort of suggest this topic, but it's because it, like I said, it came up.
Who suggested it?
Me.
No, like on. On like, was there a suggestion on the
no
internet?
There was a different category, but we didn't get a lot of suggestions, so normally when I was like, give me a number between this and this,
right
it was gonna be give me a number between 1 and 2 and don't say 1. So that's where and then we started talking about Sesame Street. I'll admit up front, I feel like I know more than your average cat about Sesame Street.
Well, you have the advantage here because I haven't watched Sesame Street in many, 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 many years. And you having children, I suspect that you've seen it a lot more frequently and a lot more recently than I have.
Yeah. My older daughter, Amelia, was more into Muppets than Sesame Street, but would watch clips. But also, she has a book about the life of Jim Henson that addresses some of the specifics that she likes to read a lot. So I know a lot of it from that.
You brought something up that I want to like kind of set over there, and we can come back to it. Like, there definitely should be a differentiation between Sesame Street and Muppets on this Wikipedia page.
Absolutely, there should be that. They would link to each other, but absolutely two separate pages.
Sure, for sure. So let's start at the top. Jim Henson is the creator of Sesame Street.
Incorrect? No. I think up top, Sesame Street is a children's television program.
Created by the Children's Television Workshop.
Children's Television Workshop in 1963. I was going to say four. We'll go three. That's very close. Because I don't remember. I know, like, it's in this book that I read probably four times a week, but I don't. You know, it doesn't sink in.
Yeah, your distaste for reading for pleasure has been actually addressed on this podcast before.
Yes, Henson did not create it. I mean, they came to him with the idea. They're like, look, we're doing this kid show. It's called Sesame Street. Mm-hmm. So name up front.
Like, wow.
This is what we want to do. You seem like a fun puppet guy. Make it happen.
That's a sentence you can't really say in 2018. You seem like a fun puppet guy. Yeah. Like, I feel like there's too many creeps in the world right now.
Yeah, and sometimes on Sesame Street itself.
Right. Okay. So 1963, Children's Television Workshop hires Jim Henson to create the look and feel and some of the characters for the show.
Yeah, they have the premise, which is Sesame Street, neighborhood New York, where kids learn about numbers and letters and how to be friends and stuff like that. It was one of the first shows on television to depict children of different races interacting with one another. Big Bird was the first Muppet created for it.
That's all you got? I mean, like, some big hit characters we can just go down. Okay. We can go down, obviously. Bert and Ernie. Rubber Ducky Song is their probably number one jam. Oscar the Grouch.
I believe Rubber Ducky did chart on Billboard when it was released.
It should have.
I don't know if it made it to number one, but let's say top 10. Let's say number six.
Great. So we got the two of them checked off. Arguably, quite possibly the first same-sex puppet couple on TV.
There's a lot of speculation.
Yeah.
It's parodied in Avenue Q, which I feel like is probably going to get a mention on the Sesame Street Wikipedia page, which is, of course, the Broadway musical parody of Sesame Street.
Mm-hmm.
It had the children interacting directly with the puppets, which was... I believe fairly innovative for the time. I think that there were shows where like adult hosts were interacting with puppets.
Okay. Yeah. Like Kids Say the Darndest Things and such. Maybe not at that time, but like shows like that where there's an adult talking to a child.
Yeah. But I mean like an adult and a puppet.
Right.
Like
Howdy Doody?
Yes. Like Howdy Doody. So I guess that predates it, and he talked to kids, so that I was wrong on that point.
Okay, well, we can edit this page before we
upload. I'm going to edit it, but I'm just going to take this clip and then replay it right now. So they just heard it twice.
You're not going to do that.
No, yeah, I'm not. I do a very minimum.
Far too lazy for that. All right, so we're naming big characters Snuffleupagus, the...
Originally imaginary.
Yes.
Big Bird was the only one who could see him, and then there was some pushback in the... In the Senate,
there was some pushback in the Senate.
It was like, no, we can't have kids thinking they have invisible furry elephant friends. There was the idea that having an imaginary friend was unhealthy for a while. So they're like, he can't be met. So let's have everyone see him. And then they added him. But I liked him better as an imaginary character because he also seemed like a stand-in for Big Bird's depression.
Yeah.
He's like a big old Eeyore.
Yeah, he's a big old Eeyore. And mm-hmm. I always did kind of feel like that was, yeah. Wow, that's might be the most profound thing that you've said
he
on this podcast
so far. He seemed to be kind
so
of like
far.
Afraid of more things than Big Bird was. So like he's that part of Big Bird's mind that, you know, is a little hesitant to do stuff. Because Big Bird's just a child.
Right. Big he's Bird big. Is a she.
She.
Big Bird correct. is a chick. That is that she's a bird and also she is of the female gender. Big Bird, the costume was downright terrifying. The original one.
Was it?
Yeah, I saw a picture of it the other day, and as long as it was actually real, because, you know, internet, it was pretty terrifying.
I mean, maybe it just didn't hold up over the years. It's I feel possible. Like it's not changed wildly. On Nerd Night, we had a presentation on the evolution of the Mickey Mouse costume.
Also terrifying.
At Disneyland, and oh, yeah, the OG Mickey Mouse costume was a nightmare. I am amazed that Disneyland succeeded for how terrifying those costumes were.
I guess the bar was really low back then, right? You had nothing to compare it to, so there mm-hmm. was a little bit more novelty there.
Sure.
Even if the kids were terrified and scarred, right? Like, what did parents care?
No, they didn't.
Other notable characters that
we've
are
got
puppets.
The Count.
The Count, yep.
Because vampires have obsessive compulsive disorder. They love counting things.
Can we talk about Kermit really quick? Because I remember him being on Sesame Street.
He was on Sesame Street.
And I feel like that is the crux of the whole Muppets conundrum, you know, because he played for both teams.
Mm-hmm.
I do a really good Kermit. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Very proud. Hold on one sec. I got to clear my throat. Got a frog in there.
Boo-hoo.
Yeah. Kermit the Frog here on the improvised Wikipedia podcast. How you doing, Glenn?
That's legitimately pretty good.
Yeah, I know. I'm a little hurt that you were as surprised.
I'm surprised just because of the way you were setting it up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I thought you were going to do a bit where you did a purposefully bad one. So I was expecting you to be like, oh, Kermit the Frog.
Oh, okay. All right. No.
But you went the other
way.
Yeah,
no. I do a legitimately good Kermit. Kind of,
I'm afraid to do impressions publicly. I don't like singing or doing impressions for others.
Noted.
I will do them for my daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I have a pretty good Kermit,
mm-hmm.
but I won't do it because I'm scared to do it into a microphone.
Well, maybe we'll do it just for us.
But
no, like after the show. I mean,
I was
I'm not
trying to
you right now.
I do a joke about it, but it's true. I tried to sing Rainbow Connection as Kermit mm-hmm. to put my daughter to sleep one night, and she just shushed me. She's like, Daddy, no. And it really genuinely
Why
hurt my
are
feelings.
There so many songs about rainbows?
Now imagine a sweet little two-year-old drifting off to sleep and be like, no.
So he
Kermit was on both.
He's on both. But
Kermit was, before The Muppet Show or Sesame Street did appear in Henson's earlier work, before he was even named Kermit and before he was even a frog. The puppet existed as a puppet that Henson used in things.
I think that kind of rounds out most of the important puppets other than Elmo and like the
Elmo
descendants,
came,
which
Elmo
came
late.
Pretty late.
Yeah. Elmo is also a child. He is permanently 3 years old, I believe. Became wildly popular, led to the spinoff of Elmo's World, which was a segment on Sesame Street, and then later, I believe, its own series.
Frank Oz
mm-hmm.
did a lot of the voices.
Yeah.
And actually he was the puppeteer for many of them too. Not only
Frank Oz was Bert, Henson was Ernie. Frank Oz I'm trying to think of other Sesame Street characters, but I know he did a lot of the Muppets. My wife has like an encyclopedic knowledge of who does the voice of every Muppet ever.
If she listens to this show, she's going to be incredibly disappointed.
I'm
going to
get
episode.
Yelled at when this one drops for not knowing more. Because she'll ask me, she's like, oh, did, I don't know. Like,
right. Did the...
I know Carol Spinney was Big Bird. He was the original Big Bird performer. End of list. I don't, like, I...
All right. What else is on this Wikipedia page?
I think Frank Oz is also Grover.
Oh, Grover! How could we forget Grover?
Yeah. Well,
there's a monster at the end of this book. I know technically not on the TV show, mm-hmm. but such a such
also
an
sequel with Elmo.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
There's another monster at the end of this book. Elmo's very excited about seeing the monster, and as per usual, Grover is afraid of the monster.
Super Grover, another bit that he does.
Yeah, well, I think there's Grover, Elmo, Harry, Telly, of course, number one in my heart.
Really?
Telly, I'm listing the monsters on Sesame Street mm-hmm. right now because they were specifically monsters because the lesson was that
right.
You don't have to be afraid of monsters.
It's like The Hobbit, right? Like, there's a bunch of dwarves and they all have their own. Like, you're filling out Thrain's party right now.
I think
I did that right.
Right.
If Allie's listening to this,
Cookie
she's
Monster,
yell at me.
Right. A lot of monsters on Sesame Street because kids are afraid of monsters. So if we make them fun and adorable,
mm-hmm.
kids won't be afraid of monsters. They'll be like, oh, Elmo's a monster. Elmo's my friend. So even if there's a monster in my closet, he's probably chill.
Pretty, pretty interesting and dangerous path to go down, right? Like,
yeah,
I might argue
I mean
monsters would be something that maybe children should fear.
So you're saying Sesame Street is being too confident that there are not monsters. So you're saying
right.
you're worried
yes.
monsters are real.
Yeah.
And Sesame Street's like, listen, kids, it's nothing to worry
about.
And then kids are getting
and monsters
up
are
by
playing
monsters.
The long game, right? So they've just been waiting.
Howie Mandel's under somebody's bed right
yeah.
now, just waiting.
And they're like syncing up.
Lulled into a
they've
sense of
synchronized
by
themselves
Frank Oz.
A la Independence Day, and there's a countdown. And monsters are going to reveal themselves. And then we're all going to be like, oh, so great. I remember Telly Monster. So great. And then they're going to rip our face off like if we dunked it in hot coffee.
Telly's the best character on Sesame Street and possibly in any form of media in the history of the world.
Oh, defend your position.
He is a children's show character who's just barely keeping it together. Like, Telly looks like at any moment he could just have a nervous breakdown and just start flipping. Like, I'm trying to think of famous TV nervous breakdowns. That thing where Bill O'Reilly was like screaming about doing
yeah,
it live.
Or
like,
what was the 2.5 Men guy? Charlie
yeah,
Sheen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Telly can go full Charlie Sheen at any minute because he's just barely holding it together. And I've never related to anything more. And I mean, like, as a child, like, I would watch Sesame
sure.
Street.
Sure, Glenn.
And Telly would just be, he'd be worried about everything. And everybody would be like, we're going to go play this game. He's like, but what if we all die? Like, I get it. I have a stuffed Telly monster that I like keep in my room. He's my little buddy.
Nice. We gotta round up our half of doing this. So what else
okay.
is on the Wikipedia page before we go online?
The albums. They put out albums of songs that got very popular. Some of them don't hold up. They did. So C is for Cookie, right?
That's
another Billboard charting Sesame Street song. Comes from an album where there's a song for every letter. And one of the songs is I believe it's just called N-Words.
Ooh.
And it starts with a little sketch of Big Bird, who sings the song, and I want to say Oscar the Grouch, talking about N-Words. And it's like out of context. It's like that thing where Jimmy Kimmel took the song from The Count and did the unnecessary censorship
right,
towards
right,
it.
Right.
So instead of Count, they bleep it, and you think he's swearing, and it's comedy gold. It's a great video. Look it up. It's very funny. But out of just with no further editing, if you take that song out of context, like when it comes on the mix that we had, like the Pandora station that we've created for my daughter, sometimes it pops up, and you just hear Big Bird and I think it's Oscar complaining about N-words, and you're like, oh, guys, no. But then they just list words that start with N. And
right.
Like, I understand.
Like nicotine.
But
yeah. And
yeah, you got to teach
neurotic
them
neurotic and
yep.
nuclear.
Narcolepsy.
Yeah. They introduced children to the idea of in-program advertising. which is revolutionized podcasts like ours, right? You know,
today's brought to you podcast, by coffee mugs.
Yeah, brought to you by coffee mugs, right? And the number four. merchandise. Yeah, I don't know that's going to be on there, but there's lots of shit out there you can buy.
Be.
I mean, Tickle Me Elmo is probably going to be referenced. Speak and Say would be one that
I genuinely almost
childhood.
Didn't mention Tickle Me Elmo. That stupid doll ruined a good portion of my life. That's all came out 1996.
We got to wrap up, but before we do, I want to know why it ruined your life.
Tickle Me Elmo came out in 1996. Okay. I started high school in 1997.
Oh, I just remembered what your name is.
So hugely
I'm so
popular
sorry.
Toy with my last name
I'm
in
so
it.
Sorry.
As I'm entering high school as a prepubescent lad.
Yeah.
Wasn't a great deal for me.
Whew.
Yeah.
Boy. All right. Any last things for our Wikipedia page on Sesame Street?
Movies. Follow That Bird, Elmo and Grouchland. Some of the Sesame Street characters were featured in the Muppet movie.
Also, there could be like a section on popular stars guesting on Sesame Street.
Lots of them. Pretty much everybody. It's genuinely a career goal of mine.
Right. And then Modern Sesame Street, check out their YouTube page. They do delightful parodies that function for kids and parents.
They do.
Very, very, very funny. You should check it out.
Also, there's a tweet that I did like 4 years ago that came up. The other day, and I keep trying to get it the love it deserves, and nobody ever does.
I was gonna say, you need to let 4 year old tweets just die.
No, because it's I put the caption, instead of Chinatown, it's Forget It, Mr. Noodle, it's Elmo's World, and it makes me so happy. So then I photoshopped
it's all
right,
I guess. It. It's okay.
I photoshopped Mr. Noodle over Jack Nicholson from that scene in Chinatown, and I gave him a little Photoshop scar on the side of his nose, and then I made Lefty, who's like a minor Muppet. I replaced him, the other guy, with Lefty, and it's some of my best work, Mr. Lunger.
All right, I am turning my attention to the actual Sesame Street Wikipedia page that is available on the internet right now. Sesame Street is an American educational children's television series that combines live action, sketch comedy, animation, and puppetry. It is produced by Sesame Workshop, formerly known as Children's Television Workshop, until June of 2000, and was created by Joan Ganz Cooney and Lloyd Morissette. The program is known for its images communicated through the use of Jim Henson's Muppets and includes short films with humor and cultural references. The series premiered on November 10th, 1969, so we were a little early.
A little early. We're just so excited about that street.
It debuted to positive reviews and some controversy and high viewership. It has aired on National Public Television PBS providers since its debut.
We didn't talk about the HBO thing.
And with its first run moving to premium channel HBO on January 16th, 2016.
That was also some controversy.
It's true. The format of Sesame Street consists of a combination of commercial television production elements and techniques. Blah, blah, blah. This is really, yes, it uses educational goals and curriculum to shape its content. I think that was covered just by saying it's an educational children's television series. Okay, shortly after creating Sesame Street, its producers developed what came to be called the CTW model, after the company's name, Children's Television Workshop. It's a system of television show planning, production, and evaluation based on collaboration between producers, writers, educators, and researchers.
That's one thing we didn't touch on. Was instead of just a bunch of TV people being like, what do you think kids like? They would be like, why don't we bring in some children's experts to tell us what kids need to learn and then do some of that?
Yeah. All right, there's a history section. Sesame Street was conceived in 1966 during discussions between Joan Ganz Cooney and the vice president of the Carnegie Foundation at the time, Lloyd Morissette. Carnegie?
Yeah.
Carnegie?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Who says you don't learn stuff on this podcast? Some stuff about money. Yeah, this is pretty boring.
Get out of here.
It is pretty boring.
Throw a Muppet in there, Wikipedia. Jeez.
All right, there's a section on format. Most researchers believed that young children did not have long attention spans. Therefore, the new show's producers were concerned that an hour-long show would not hold their audience's attention. At first, the show's street scenes, the action taking place on its set, consisted of character-driven interactions and were not written as ongoing stories. The structure allowed producers to use a mixture of styles and characters to vary the pace. But by season 20, research had shown that children were able to follow a story, and the street scenes, while still interspersed with other segments, became evolving storylines. So it took them 20 years to figure out kids know stuff.
Yeah, and I think referring to them as street scenes makes them sound grittier than they are.
like Law and Order, Sesame
Street.
They just
mean when they're standing out in front of Mr. Hooper's store, but it sounds like The Wire.
Yeah.
Like, out on these streets.
I would watch a Avenue Q-style parody of The Wire.
Well then, good news, because that Megan, Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, yeah,
Puppet
that movie's
coming out. That's basically what that looks like.
Yeah. Huh. There's a section on educational goals that starts with a Malcolm Gladwell quote, which she has nothing to do with Sesame Street, so fuck off, Wikipedia page. The creators and the researchers formulated both cognitive and effective goals for the show. They were initially focused on cognitive goals while addressing the effective indirectly, in the belief that doing so would increase children's self-esteem and feelings of competency.
Can I just hit one more fact?
Yeah, please.
Because when they tried to make Cookie Monster more of a spokesperson for healthy eating.
Right, he started eating vegetables.
There was like a campaign where it was cookies are a sometimes food.
Yeah.
And I will occasionally try to use the phrase blank is a sometimes food in conversation and no one ever knows what I'm talking about.
I would have known.
So if you take anything away from this episode, just know that if I'm talking about something that shouldn't happen a lot and I say like, I don't know,
getting kidney stones pulverized is a sometimes food.
Then that's what I'm referencing, and I feel like more people should be aware of that.
I mean, pulverize your kidney stones if you
get
need
them
to,
out of
right? Like if it's a, I don't know, see a doctor if it's a reoccurring thing on that frequency.
If it's more than a sometimes food, buddy,
yeah. Oof.
Stop eating all those cookies.
Yeah. Oh, here's a line here. In later seasons, Sesame Street started addressing real-life disasters, such as September 11th and Hurricane Katrina.
Oh, how did I forget the 9/11 episode?
I've never seen the 9/11 episode of Sesame Street.
I'll put the link somewhere.
Please.
So you can see it.
Yeah. Is it good? Because the way you're saying it makes it sound like it's a little bit of a disaster.
No
like, joke intended there.
It's a little bit of a... No, like they handled it really well. And
okay,
it's,
good.
And you would think like, I think it's part like, they people
would
underestimate children
right.
a lot.
Yeah.
So if you think like, oh, Sesame Street is going to handle 9/11 and then you make the jerk off motion. But
I want to just hold on real quick. I did not do that. I feel like you were saying that.
No,
I
not
did
you
that.
Specifically.
Okay.
You, the royal you of people that underestimate children to make the jerk off motion.
Right. I mean,
not together usually.
Right. But. I mean, Sesame Street is doing a better
and
job.
And it's been a while since I've seen it, but I think if I remember correctly, they did do a genuinely good job.
All right.
Of course they did. Sesame Street, excellent, excellent program.
Yep. Moving on, there's a section on funding. Genuinely don't care. There's a whole bunch on the research. There's a couple paragraphs on the writing of this. But it's, again, Wikipedia pages, the more we do this show, the more I realize they tend to be very redundant. In their sections, and you would think they would elaborate on stuff that they have in their like initial opening paragraphs, but typically their elaboration is just the restatement of like the thesis like seven times.
Right. It's either the same fact in like eight different paragraphs or not enough facts. They're all over the map. Do you know Oscar the Grouch is he's not, but he's one of those characters where everyone's like, oh, did you know whoever is secretly a Time Lord?
What?
So Time Lords from Doctor Who.
Uh-huh.
There are several characters that people are like, oh, you know they're secretly a Time Lord because they have like two things in common with the Doctor or other Time Lords. Oscar the Grouch, Mary Poppins, Miss Frizzle from Magic School Bus. I There's another one I can't remember. But the Magic School Bus.
Can I start naming?
The Magic School Bus, Mary Poppins Bag, and Oscar's Trash Can are all TARDISes.
Can I just start, knowing very little about Doctor Who, I just like rattle off like a list of like fictional characters right now, and you can
please
tell me
do.
Whether or not they're secretly a Time Lord?
None of them are, but there's like...
Okay, could you tell me if there's like a seed of doubt?
Okay, like if I've seen a Tumblr post trying to prove it?
Sure. If that's your metric.
Yeah.
Okay. Ian Malcolm from Jurassic Park.
No. But Jeff Goldblum would make a great doctor.
Oh, my God. Jeff Goldblum would make a great anything.
Yeah.
Air Bud.
No.
Rufus from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
That's the other one. That is, although, to be fair, that was directly inspired by Doctor Who. That's why.
Yeah, he literally travels through time.
That's why.
And he's got a phone booth.
That's why they're going around in a phone booth. It's because of Doctor Who.
I got
to
keep going.
But that was the fourth one I was trying to think of.
All right, well,
so
I guess
him,
that, no, that's a good stop. That's a good stopping point. Yeah. We accomplished something there. There's a section on cast and crew. Ratings. Section on influence.
Pretty good.
Critical
That's
response.
Just what it says under ratings.
Yeah,
it's consistently been pretty okay. Sesame
I'm
going to
read the critical reception section. It's the last part of this Wikipedia page. And
this is not as robust as I thought it would be.
It's
a chunkier page.
It's very redundant. There's not a lot of... they miss an opportunity to, I think, get into the canon of Sesame Street, like listing characters, listing
tell me all about
plot
Mr. Hooper.
Line. Yeah, like none of that shit's mentioned. And I feel like that's a real missed opportunity.
Tell me about that Gift of the Magi Christmas special they did.
Okay, critical reception. Collection. Sesame Street was praised from its debut in 69. Newsday reported several newspapers. Did you just giggle because I said 69?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. I can't be that surprised. We're not better than that. Press overwhelmingly praised the show. There's some shit in here. So in 1970, the state of Mississippi, where Jim Henson was actually from,
also birthplace of Kermit the Frog,
right?
For that reason,
and very,
but that's the swamp he lives
very
in
far south and very, very embedded with systematic racism. They voted to not air Sesame Street because of the highly integrated cast of children, which we talked about before.
And I think when we said that there were, it was early for children of different races interacting on television, I think it could be safely assumed that Mississippi would raise some objections.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, this was not as exciting as I thought it was going to be. There's not really... Yeah, there's no... Yeah, they won some Peabody Awards.
Yeah.
And they were number 27 on TV Guide's 50 Greatest TV Shows of All Time.
Should be higher, but all right, TV Guide. It's your list, not mine.
There you go. That was the Sesame Street Wikipedia page that exists on the internet. I, beyond a shadow of a doubt, know that we were more engaging and entertaining than that.
I thought before you got into the Wikipedia page that we were going to lose this one just because it's such a vast topic and we were just kind of hitting highlights. But I feel like the Wikipedia page really beefed it.
It's very disappointing. I was legitimately excited to get like some insider information, and you told me more interesting tidbits than this Wikipedia.
I'm all about
them
bits.
Yeah, give me those bits.
Also, I meant it, Sesame Street, if you're listening, that appearing on Sesame Street's a legitimate career goal, so get at me.
There you go. There's a sidebar here that's, you know, as most of them do, that just, you know, lists.
Yeah.
It doesn't even list interesting
stuff.
It's
like the back of a baseball card stats.
It's not even really all that interesting.
Like,
I mean, the biggest takeaway here is they've done 4,480 episodes.
Who hasn't?
Us.
Yeah, this is episode, like, 14.
We don't even know. We couldn't count past 10 correctly. According to the highly systematic method that we have of keeping track of score, the post-it note that I have on this computer monitor over here, I believe we're all tied up at 5 wins for us, 5 wins for Wikipedia, and 2 ties. I feel like we won. I really do.
I also feel that we won. I didn't think we would, but Wikipedia didn't show up to this fight.
So there it is. We're in the lead, 6-5-2. We end every episode of the Improvised Wikipedia podcast by coming up with a fake fact that we would try to pass off as real on the Wikipedia page. There's ample room to do that on this page because it's just like thick paragraphs of redundancy.
We started this. We got on this because we were talking about the count. So yeah. I feel like it should be count related.
Well, I think it could be, and this might not even be fake, so I don't know if it qualifies for the exercise, but the count was made a vampire because of vampire lore saying that vampires oftentimes have OCD.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that. Because it's
unverifiable.
It's unverifiable. Or at least the two times I've been in front of a computer or had like my phone in my hand and had that thought, and like I'll look it up. Like there's no, like Jim Henson never, I don't think ever said, oh yeah, because you know how vampires like to count poppy seeds?
Be a good quote.
Why else would it be a vampire?
I don't know. But there you have it. Thanks for listening. Reminder to do all of those fun things that you're supposed to do, like rate us and subscribe and tell your mom about us, all that stuff. We really appreciate it. Check us out on Twitter at ImprovWikiPod. And that's the same promo code to use at checkout if you want to buy a mug for a discount.
And
somewhere.
Come see Nerd Night, third Thursday of every month. And which of your many things would you like to promote?
Subscribe to this podcast.
But they already are
listening.
Oh,
I know. I'm going a little meta. We're plugging the thing that we're plugging.
All right. If you're listening and didn't subscribe yet, you're trash. So fix it.
Bye, friends.
Bye.
I do want to point out, Glenn, we started talking about Sesame Street off of a chain that started with people yelling dildo in a room. I don't know. It makes me a little uncomfortable.
Dildo.